Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two Dick Gander.
Got a lot of
new special guests for us. Sheldon, I see you are going to be quite often. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nosey.
I'm MTG Peddler.
And we have a special guest with us all the way in Hong Kong, an artist, Solomon A. Young. Solomon, thank you for coming on today's show.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to join this meeting.
Hi. Yes, love having you on here. Yes. Very happy you're here.
Now, you did a lot of GPs back in the day. What, 1996, 97?
In fact, I start playing Magic together in this game since 1994.
Oh, wow.
During the dark.
Yes, 1995, the dark.
Ah, wow.
Yes, I start from the dark and the revised edition. And okay. Then I just start playing my Hong Kong. I come from Hong Kong, my Hong Kong local cup shop. And there's this very few people playing Magic this game in the beginning, in the last 1994, 1995, 1996. So it is very easy for me to take the Hong Kong champion lesson in the 1996 and 1997. And then I have an opportunity to go to join the Seattle in the world champion hold at the Wizard of Gold, their headquarters. It is a very good memory for me.
Oh, that sounds very, very cool. Very fun.
Now, you told me recently that a person that was Chinese approached you to ask
yes.
If you would do art for Magic the Gathering.
As I remember, he is a Chinese, should be named Peter. Mm-hmm. He is work in the Wizard of the Coast, a fat man with a glass. Okay, I don't know. he seemed to be a businessman and not a pagan. I meet him in 1996 around since he fly to Hong Kong to meet the current general distributor of Magic of Hong Kong. I know the distributor of Hong Kong, he is Mr. Lau in Mr. Lau Card Shop. And then Peter, this bad Chinese people person talk with me and say, do you have any interest to draw some picture for our upcoming Portal Three Kingdom cards? I say, oh, of course, sure. Since besides playing Magic the Gathering, and also this is some chance to draw something for this game, I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree. Very, very cool.
Yeah. So, and then I accept his invitation and draw, and then I get the other's email from their other staff, their art director, to tell me how to do that free artwork afterwards. And then also, unluckily or sadly say, after doing this free artwork, they never call me again. So
I don't know why they wouldn't call you. Your art is very, very beautiful.
I don't know.
I am a big fan of it. I'm actually looking at your Loyal Retainers art right now. Very, very
yes,
pretty.
I guess because they just want to recruit some Chinese artists just mm-hmm. for the pay the series of the Portal Three Kingdoms as a special things, and then
right.
Don't, yeah. So I you are not the only one or two person or pagans say that they unite my art and one why they don't know why Wizard of Cold don't ask me to draw for them again. And I also emailed them and asked for opportunity to draw anything new, but they never reply me.
I don't understand why they wouldn't. Solomon, can I ask you a question about Loyal Retainers? Did you use watercoloring when you did
yes.
it? Because it's very, very soft, you know? It looks like watercoloring.
Yes, let me explain a little bit about this amazing art. I also like it very much. First of all, I also know the card ability of this card when I know I need to draw it. I believe it is an amazing ability. You know, it is, you can certify it before your combat phase and return a legendary card from your graveyard to the battlefield. I think it's crazy. It's crazy. As I know, in the current time, it is not legal in the standard.
Right, no, not legal currently.
Yes. So who knows, afterwards they make it can be paid. But at the time, so the price rise up. Okay. Then at that time, it is only very cheap in Hong Kong markets, less than $1. And no people like to buy it. But it changed afterwards. Okay. Okay. And about the art of this card, I use watercolor, pure watercolor to paint it. I draft the pencil draft and let the art director to check it out and they approve. And then I going on color it and other two cards. And then after painting, I know this one's local presenter is the best of the threes. And even the, I lose, but afterwards, this three original as well was one of my friend. I sold it to him and he also disappeared afterwards. So I never can regret it again.
Wow.
No.
I've got a question. Have you ever played the game with any of the cards that you did artwork for?
In first, I never or very seldom use these three cards in magic games, even in casual plays. Of course, not in a standard or a tournament, because it is, as you know, it is not legal.
Right.
And,
so they weren't good enough back in the day for you to use them? You've never used them in a game?
Maybe some casual game with friends, but never used in tournament.
Okay.
Never used in tournaments. Gotcha.
You did play with them with your friends.
Yes. I have some Magic the Gathering fans.
Okay.
Play with me in that time, even in 1996, 1997. So because
when you played with the cards that you did the artwork for, how did that feel? How was that?
Oh, super cool.
I bet it was.
Sure.
Can you imagine? You use a card, you draw it, and then tap and attack your opponent.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that feeling of being like, wow, I did the art for this card. That's my art.
Yeah. Solomon, our listeners are going to love this, man, because you're right on point. This is amazing. I love it. I love you, Solomon. This is great.
Thank you.
We have a segment called Card of the Week. Before we get ahead of ourselves here, we are proudly sponsored by North Valley Games. Head over to NorthValleyGames.com. You can use the promo code TCC2021, save 10% on your orders, and also help kick back and help the podcast. And this week's Card of the Week is brought to you by Unstable Realms Gaming over on YouTube.
Indeed. And this week we have a great card done by our special guest, Solomon Young. It is Loyal Retainers. For 2 generic and 1 white, it is a human advisor creature coming in at uncommon. Sacrifice Loyal Retainers. Return target legendary creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate this ability only during your turn before attackers are declared, and it is on a 1/1 body. And it's some of the best art you can see in this game. It's beautiful. It's a nice watercolor. It's soft. It's just a very pleasing card. And it's a cool card, too. It's a very cool card.
Speaking of which, Time Spiral Remastered is coming out. Solomon, what do you think about the Time Spiral Remastered cards with them bringing back the old bordered frame?
Do you ask me what's my feeling? They repeat it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Of course, it is cool because it means that the car is something valuable, can let people want to see it again. Of course, it may be a car market, the car value may be drop. It is also very funny to see it also become a foil one.
Yeah.
Foil one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the other two cars I done for Puerto Rico never see, it also become a foil one. So, okay, it is. I think when I saw the new European one, it is two feeling. First of all, is I can saw my with my car again, but mm-hmm. the second feeling is not very good because it recall my memory. Why Mr. Cole don't call me to do any art, new artwork, like the Pink Walker, I like Lina or other great car.
Yeah, I can understand that, how it would bring out both of those like memories in you, where it's like, oh yes, it's my art, I'm excited to see it, and it's very cool, but at the same time, you wanted to do more.
Yes, more. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So I see how it would bring up those two different memories for you, like one good, one not so good.
Yes, and also, in fact, honestly speaking, I also have a gyms. As you know, before in the history of Magic the Gathering cards, the world champion. Do you remember the world champion of Magic the Gathering in the past?
Yes.
They have an opportunity or a chance to decide their own card. Do you remember this?
Yes,
I do. Yeah,
the invitation. Yes. The invitation.
Yes.
Yes.
So I have this gym before. If I win this chance, win the world champion, I can design my own card for a Magic card. And also, at the same time, I'm also draw this card. I think it is a very, very interesting and never be done by other pagers or even pro pagers. Do you understand?
Definitely. Yeah, not only be, first off, you're the world champion, which is very cool. Then you get to design your own card.
Yes.
And since you're an artist, you can do your own art too.
Yes.
So it would be like, your card. That would be your card.
Yes.
Yeah.
It can happen in the future.
We want to go over to Peddler for Modern Horizons 2. He's got an update for Modern Horizons 2. Go ahead and take it away, Peddler.
Yeah, I know. Modern Horizons 2 is still months away, but we already got a little bit of information on this set coming out. So this set is going to be the first ancillary product that's going to have come with pre-release kits. There's actually going to be a pre-release for Modern Horizons 2. And the date that the pre-release is going to be is June the 4th of 2021. And also, this is also going to be the first ancillary product with set boosters and collector's boosters. Mm-hmm. So, and we already know that there's going to be, what is it? Fetch lands. That's it. Fetch lands. So there's going to be fetch lands in Modern Horizon 2. Go ahead, John.
That brings up a thought, man. You know, with these Modern Horizons, was the first time I saw the artwork cards. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, the first Modern Horizons. Yes, it was the first time that it had the art cards. Yes.
Right, and then you've seen them in the set boosters. And, you know, and that's another opportunity for an artist like Solomon Young to have an art card. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Anything that could showcase such good art.
Yeah.
I would love to see Solomon do one of the modern arts for the modern cards.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah. I'm going to sign a petition. I'm going to get a petition going together that we need Solomon Young to get back into Magic the Gathering and create more artwork.
We're going to send it into Wizards.
Yeah. We're going to get thousands and thousands.
Yes. Please do this for me because.
Hey, Solomon, I promise I'll sign that. I will sign that because I very much enjoy your artworks. I will be signing that petition.
Thank you very much. No need to say please. No need to say thank you. This is in my heart. I grew up, okay, playing this game. And in 1996, 97, when you became a champion, I was just a teenager, you know?
Oh.
I wasn't even 20. Okay. And I wasn't even 20 yet. but I was playing with elves and goblins with my friends, and we didn't know about the tournaments until, you know, 96. Okay. And you're already there. You're doing the artwork for the game. You are a living legend, and we are so honored to have you on this podcast.
So you summon me this turn to summon me this solemn legendary creature.
We summoned a legendary creature. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And one thing I want to share is about legendary creature. Since I quit Magic since like 2004 World Championship in San Francisco, and I quit 15 years. So I missed many great cards. But in my memory, I do like one legendary creature even till now, the art and the ability. He is the Deckon Bad Blade.
What card?
Deckon Bad Blade, the one black mana, one white mana, one blue mana, and should be three colorless to summon
Sphinx?
This.
The Sphinx?
This his power and toughness is equal to the lands you control.
Yeah.
Do you remember this Deckon Bad Blade?
Okay.
I remember it.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it in the past. because I love the art. I really like it. And so, anyway, and then quit after playing Magic 15 years. I've gone back to play online with MTGA.
Yes.
But it's very funny.
Now, what are you ranked right now? Are you Mythic?
I go to Mythic 2 times in last year. Okay. But I also go to the 1,200 top pickers.
Very nice.
One time should be around 1,000. Wow. Yes, but since I need to many other works to do, I can spend more time to upkeep it. So
It's hard. It's hard.
Yes, it is very hard for me to choose. So nowadays, I always my level is around the diamond level. Yeah, every month.
I do a lot of draft on MTGA. I like draft.
And you like draft?
Yes.
Too. You like draft too, right?
In fact, I like draft in the past Paper Magic period, and I got better results in draft than standard in my MTG tournament history. Yes, and I love the challenge. Every tournament, every deck is different. It is really interesting. You know, need to have build your own very expensive decks. You just use your skill and some luck to win the limited draft tournament. Yeah.
Yes, Solomon, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think that limited, it really involves more skill than just having expensive cards and putting them together.
So I remember in my first time joined the 1996 World Champion in the Seattle. Day one is draft format first. And that is 6 or 7 rounds. I lose only one match. And so I find out my final position is position number 6 in day one.
Wow.
By the draft. And it is I can still remember I played the red and the white deck. Draft in this draft. I have the Super Dragon and the Sarah Angel in my draft.
Oh, yeah.
So it is very good memory.
Sounds awesome.
What is your favorite colors to play with?
Blue.
Blue?
Blue is the first part, the best one for me. Second is white. And the third is black.
Yeah.
And the four is red. And green is since I seldom play green in standard, and of course, and also in limited draft, I also, if I can choose, I would like to play blue and white and black because I want to control more. And as you know, white blue can control and counter your opponent. And then white have more opportunity to gain life, protect yourself, and have mass destroy the creature or enchantment. Okay?
Yeah.
And
black
also can and discard your opponent's hand and control his deck. This all is this three color I most like to do is, although I know it is low, the speed is low, but it is more stable and soluble for my will. Yes.
Esper. They call it Esper now. Yep.
Yeah. Blue, black, and blue red is my, if I can draft it, I those are my two colors. I love being in those two pairings.
And I just like blue. I just like blue. Now,
So, Force of Will is a very good card.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Force of Will. I love Force of Will. Now, they introduced Planeswalkers in 2006. Since the introduction of Planeswalkers, what are your thoughts of Planeswalkers?
You asked me which favorite Planeswalker is for me?
Yeah, no, just in general, what do you think of Planeswalkers?
In general?
Yes.
Yes.
Honestly speaking, Planeswalker, this statistic or this input into the magic system after a quick, after 2004 or 2005, so... When I get back to the game some years before on MTGA, I just know there is a Planeswalker system. Mm-hmm. So I miss many legendary Planeswalker. Mm-hmm. But I quickly find it is also very interesting. You can summon different Planeswalker to support, as a supporter of yourself, your wishes.
Yes.
So it can be used in every deck because, as you know, you input too many Planeswalker, your deck can win. Do you understand my meaning?
Yes. Absolutely.
Too many Planeswalkers would be no good.
Yes. Although I know there is some Planeswalker, some decks is mainly focused on you can input many things occur in the past. I studied, but I think it can't be too, it should be thought is too strong. It can be a very powerful card to support your deck to win. But you may not put all your hope on them.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Very, very strong cards, but they're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna solely win you games. It's still you're still gonna need a deck built around the Planeswalkers.
Creatures is still the main power to win your game. Even in standard, limited draft is of course you without creature you can't win. But in standard or history or other format, creature is. I think it's very important. Of course, in the Magic history, I remember in the very early stage, many people like to build low creature deck and only control card. Do you remember? It is very, very make your opponent very, very up, very sad because every turn he just do nothing and stop you do anything.
I will say that I turned on Magic the Gathering Arena the other day, and I noticed that the Historic Anthologies 4 came out, and they had on their 1X next to everything, so I thought that you can get one copy of these cards, but apparently you can get four copies of these cards. I think it's good that they're putting more cards in the Historic format on Magic the Gathering Arena.
Yes, and so long as you buy into that bundle, the Historic bundle, you'll have access to those cards whenever, even when the event runs out, which is a very important note to throw in there too. So you'll have access to those cards even after the cutoff, which I think is in like June 10th or 11th. Oh, June 11th is also the release date of Modern Horizons 2. I don't believe I touched on that.
Now, Slothy, I want to turn to you. Do you have any updates for us this week on Commander?
For Commander, yeah, I just got a couple. Big jump from Thrasios. He moved from fifth place last week all the way up to first. And I was looking at that, and it's just looks like it's back to the old Thrasios Timna, Thrasios Tevish Zaat formulas, which is nice to see. That's kind of a big throwback for me. Other than that, nothing else has really changed.
Yeah. So, Solomon, if anybody is listening to you now for the first time, how can they get a hold of you?
If you just know me right now, I am great to meet you, and you can contact me on my Facebook. You can just type Solomon Auyang. Solomon Auyang, this name, you can find me, because as I know, there's only two person on the Facebook has this name. Okay. So it's very easy. You can, I'm welcome anyone to add me on FB. It is the most easy way anybody can add me as a fan.
Okay. So Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook. I'll put a link in the description. Okay, guys, that'll make it a lot easier for people to get a hold of you. And
yes, thank you very much.
Is there anything else anybody wanted to ask Solomon before he has to go?
Oh, no, I don't want to keep him. I just want to, again, thank him for taking his time to coming on and talking with us for a little bit.
I'm not too sure if it's already been asked, but what inspires you to do some of the artwork that you do? I was looking through some of them earlier, and it's just really, really incredible work. So I'm just wondering what kind of goes through your head as you're doing that.
I like to see many, many comics, movies, and all entertainments. Everything I saw before can inspire me in that. Of course, things about fantasies. I love fantasies. Fantasy things. And beautiful girl is more, to inspire me. So, luckily, Wizard of Colefa called me to draw a female car. Okay, the three polar kingdom is also all male. It's just maybe you can think it is too general, but I can see everything can be inspired me. One smile of a person, or a music, or a song I hear, everything. Because I my imagination is, I believe it's very, very strong. It is my will. And finally, I must say thank you to you too, and all you listen to this podcast. And also final words.
My friends, Jonathan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We're really sorry we didn't warn you guys about the commercial. So, Slothy, this week you got movers and shakers.
Yes, sir. So, starting out is Omnath, Locus of Creation. It's at 651, and that is trending down slowly, ever so slowly. Then, next up, we've got Orvar, the All Form from Kaldheim. At $6.10, this one is also trending down slowly. And then we've got Opposition Agent, which is from Commander Legends, $16.25, and that one has kind of stabled out recently. There's no real big bumps or dips. And at number three this week is Zombie Master at $13.15. That is up 117%. And at number two is Pearl Medallion, at $29.24, that is up 118.37%. And then at number one, at $6.18 and up a massive 1,066.04%, is Selective Memory. Oh, wow.
That is quite the impressive increase.
Yeah.
I used to have this mat. I'm looking at the artwork here. I used to have this mat.
And it's funny, I'm looking at the artwork too right now, and it's from Worldwake, and I don't remember it at all.
I remember this card. There wasn't much you can do with it back in the day, though.
No.
I'm reading it. It says, search your library for any number of non-land cards and exile them, then shuffle your library for three generic and one.
by itself, it's not something you really want to do.
Oh.
I'm looking at the price history. I'm out 477 weeks. It was 10 cents for the longest time. And then it had a massive spike up to 30 cents. And then it dropped right back down to like a rock, right back down to 10 cents.
When did a Laboratory Maniac come out?
Labman was...
Because I'm thinking you can do... I'll exile everything but Laboratory Maniac, you know?
The first Labman was in Innistrad Block.
That's even way down the line.
That's 2011, yeah.
Yeah, that's way down the line from this guy.
I think the only real thing that I could see from around that time was Pull from Eternity, which can put target face-up card that's removed from the game into its owner's graveyard.
And by the way, I look back on today on pricing on, like, you know, with the stimulus coming, I'm like, hey, I wonder how much a box of Unlimited would cost me right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good luck. I'll give you my stimulus and my wife's stimulus too, and you still go not even a quarter of the way there.
I know. And then I looked up revised. I'm like, oh yeah, right. I couldn't even get a pack, you know. But then,
like I said, I got a pack of revised coming in.
I looked up at a box of Mirage was over 1,000.
Oh yeah,
jeez.
I was actually looking at some of the because Zendikar is when like my height in standard was. I top aided a Star City game 5K with a Jund deck back in the day. So I was like kind of looking at like seal prices back then. And oddly enough, the original Zendikar was the cheapest out of all of them, and it was like $1,000. But like Alara Reborn was like 1,050. I was like, there's nothing in Alara Reborn at all.
No.
Johnny Vengeance.
Johnny, that's like a 22 cent card.
I know.
I'll trade you a smoke for one. it's like there's nothing in there. Why is that so expensive?
Peddler, what have you been doing lately as far as Magic the Gathering related stuff?
Magic the Gathering related stuff. You know me, I'm always on my never-ending quest for basic lands. I got I put an order in. I think I got like 130 coming my way of just basics that I had in my cart. And I was like, let me just grab these real fast. So I'm always looking for more basics to add to the collection. On actual playing, I have been playing more in Arena. I've been focusing more on drafts. This month, I'm platinum in Constructed, and I had put zero effort into it. So I'm primarily focusing on drafting this month. I would like to get double platinum to see if I can get platinum in both. That would be kind of cool. So it's a silly little goal, but it's a goal. It's something to do.
What about you, Sloth?
I've kind of taken a step back from Arena for a little bit. I've been focusing more on building new commander decks. I just built a Derevi, and I've got my first real game night since the pandemic started tomorrow. So I've been kind of just preparing for that, and I'm pretty pumped to actually get out there and play.
I'm bringing the pizza.
Sweet.
I'll be over in, Alberta?
Oh, yeah.
I've been cooped up playing the Magic the Gathering Arena, and I've been doing a lot of Twitch streaming. You know, you can find us over there, The Cryptic Commander, one word, on Twitch. But I got to Mythic, and it's the first time I ever got to Mythic. I want to keep climbing the rank to get to the top 1,200, as you know. And I want to go play more Paper Magic. I've been cooped up too long just playing Magic the Gathering Arena. And I know there's a lot of things going on that are safe. You know, in my area, you know, they got the hand sanitizer and they got you sitting 6 feet apart and the clear separators with plexiglass or whatever, you know. So they go through a lot, you know, to have this go on. And I have not been up there participating. So I'm thinking about going up there because I've got that itch, guys. I've got that itch, man, where I want to play with some cardboard. I've got product coming in the mail. I just bought a Jace the Mind Sculptor. You know, I got that itch, man.
Let me say, too, like, congratulations. This is your first month Mythic, right? First time?
First time getting Mythic, man. Yeah.
It's a big accomplishment. It's not easy to do.
Really? No. Okay. Wow.
Those platinum and diamond tiers, they can be very, very tough to get out of.
Well, I thought I was struggling with the diamond. Diamond. I'm not going to lie. Like, when I got to diamond 2, it felt like every time I lost, it was like a huge step back. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, you know what I would do? I would actually just turn off the game. I would, you know, I would play till I lose, and I would just turn it off. Like, okay, I need to regroup. Let me go do some stuff, and then I'll jump back on it again. I'm not going to sit there and just, like, you know, be pissed that I lost, and then just keep going back into games and losing more.
Yeah,
it's a cycle. So you know what? I'm going to lose once. I'll step away. I'll do some stuff around the house, and then I'll jump back onto arena. And that worked out really well for me. And I'll tell you, the most nervous I've been for a while playing Magic is that when I was at Diamond 1 and I needed one more win to get to Mythic, I was like, oh man, I hope this guy just scoops or something, or like, you know, his phone rings and he has to take a call. I was like, please just quit.
Yeah, that reminded me of last month. Like last month, I was right there, right? And I was in Diamond 2 or something. Like I explained a minute ago, every time you lose, you just go back so much. You're like, oh, it's going to be forever till I get to Mythic. And the time came to where it was like 8 hours left. I'm like, I'm just not going to make it, right? And this time I made it, and I didn't have a problem with like the last three matches or nothing. So like the first guy scooped, and then the second guy was a good match. And then the third guy, I beat him the first round, and he scooped the second round. Like, I was like, whoa. And I went to Mythic, and I'm like, I looked at how many more time I got. 19 more days left.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Wow.
You know? So I'm going to do what me and Peddler talked about. I'm going to climb up there. And I'm not going to sit there. I'm going to actively be on there so I can keep my
speed,
you know?
That's the hard thing about it. Like, especially when you hit Mythic, like, you'll wake up, you'll go to bed, you'll be at 95%, you'll wake up, you're at 92. And you're like, what happened? I did was get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
It's because it's online. So it never stops. There's just always someone else playing.
Yeah. And I see it too, man. You know, I go over, because I'm a Twitch streamer, and that's something I want to just touch base on too before we let the listeners go. We haven't even got to Beginner's Corner yet. But that's something I want to touch base on is when you're doing something like the podcast, okay, this podcast right here, and you get to learn the innards and outards so much that you learn that there's a community of podcasters out there doing their own medium. So I work with other podcasters to not only spread this podcast, but to spread the love of other podcasts. And Peddler, you've got something special, right?
Yeah, we got it's Halfwits and Failed Crits. It's an actual play tabletop role-playing podcast where Game Master Jonathan Swenson vows to get his players to the end of a campaign. Unfortunately, their cursed dice have other plans. Their first season is called Worlds Divided. When they play Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, Worlds Divided is the story of an unlikely group that forms a guild and makes it their mission to upstage the top-ranked guild in the nation. This is your standard swords and sorcery fantasy filled with monsters, quests, and mysterious rifts. You'll see. Their second and current season is called Children of the Spine, where they play Stars Without Number Revised Edition. Children of the Spine is a sci-fi space opera where the players are young adults trying to learn who they are, where they are, and what they're going to do with themselves after being rescued from a very Lord of the Flies type situation on an isolated planet. There is also a prequel to season 2 where they play max level space pirates hunting objects related to an event called The Scream. And lastly, they have some one-shot bonus episodes where the group plays Honey Heist, where they play bears trying to steal from a honey convention, and Backstabbing Beasties, where they play as immortal monsters racing to obtain a chalice that will make them mortal so they can finally rest in peace. The crew actually recommends that you start listening with Backstabbing Beasties, as it's self-contained, rules light, so it's easy to follow, and the first episode they recorded with great audio equipment and tons of sound design that will become more the norm in season 2. If this sounds like a show you would be interested in, you can find them at halfwitsfailedcrits.com, Twitter, and Facebook. So just get, and I'm sure we'll include a link in our description as well.
Absolutely. Again, you know, sharing information with other podcasts or about other podcasts is kind of like the realm we're in. So, you know, when you go out there and you look at, hey, you know, how can we get better at what we're doing? It's you work with the community you're in, and we're in a podcast. So I'm actively reaching out to people that are in the community and saying, hey, let's work together, you know? So this is going to be a podcast I'll be listening to and adding to my, what do you call that? Itinerary? What do you call that?
Repertoire.
A repertoire? Yeah, there you go. Every day I'll be putting this into my repertoire, my agenda, you would say. Okay, guys, we've only got a few minutes left. Let's go over to Beginner's Corner. And this week we're going to just cover a basic one because we got like 5 minutes. Planeswalkers. And planeswalkers, they come in at sorcery speed,
just like a creature.
They're not a creature, right?
They're not a creature, but they play like a creature, where it's just sorcery speed. You can't cast it on your opponent's turn or anything like that.
So on your main turn thing, okay, and it acts like an enchantment, right? Because it just sits there, but it's a player, and we don't want to confuse that. It's not like it's another player. So it's called a planeswalker, and it has abilities.
I'm actually going to quote Solomon Young. It's support to you. It's like a supporting player to you, basically, that you control.
You can uptick an ability. You can downtick ability, remove loyalty counters, add loyalty counters. But you can only do one of those. You can only either add or remove once. It looks like, if it changes the rules, like instant speed, sorcery, so it's a sorcery speed. So if it's something changes the rule, like to Fairy Master of Time, you can do the ability anytime. That card would have to say that. Otherwise, these are pretty much sorcery speed. Who wants to talk about planeswalkers here?
I'll go first. Why not? I already got one in front of me. I'm going off of Jace the Mind Sculptor here, which is one of the more powerful planeswalkers and one of the more sought after ones. Mm-hmm. Now, Jace's ability, it's a little different because the planeswalkers can have any number of abilities. Normally it's three, but they can be as little as one. And Jace has four abilities. Mm-hmm. He has one plus ability. Now, actually, I should probably start off with when you cast them. So Jace the Mind Sculptor costs 2 generic and 2 blue, and he comes in with a starting loyalty of 3. If a planeswalker loyalty goes to 0, it dies. So his loyalty starts at 3, and then you can add 2 loyalty, and then you can look at the top card of a target player's library. You may put that card on the bottom of that player's library. Then he has an ability which is 0, so it doesn't remove loyalty counters and it doesn't add them. Draw 3 cards. Then put 2 cards from your hand on top of your library in any order. His -1, so use this would remove a loyalty counter, return target creature to its owner's hand, and then they always call the bottom ability, the biggest ability, the ultimate ability. So his ultimate ability is exile all cards from target player's library, then shuffle his or her hand into their library.
Yeah, so it doesn't do any damage to a creature, like with the loyalty counters, because it's not like a creature where it's power and toughness. So the loyalty, like you said, it goes to 0, it's dead. But it can attack one turn with one of those abilities.
Not attack. Attack is a poor choice of words. It can utilize an ability per turn.
Right. I'm just trying to talk for beginners. I'm not saying
right.
how I normally say, but yeah. So, okay, just trying to understand for beginners. Okay. And they sit there. They don't tap normally. You don't tap them. I'm just trying to look at a beginner's point of view. What happens if somebody's attacking Planeswalker?
So if somebody's attacking the Planeswalker, their loyalty number is equal to their life. So say, we'll use the Jace the Mind Sculptor again. Say he just came out on the battlefield. He is a 3 loyalty. If you attack him with a 3-3, and the 3-3 is not blocked, Jace will die because his loyalties are down to 0.
Okay.
But if you attack him with, say, a 2-2, he would just go down to 1. And unlike creatures, that loyalty doesn't go back up at the end of the turn.
Got it. The cleanup step. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Another notable fact about planeswalkers is since they are not creatures, they are not affected by summoning sickness. So generally, when the first turn you cast a creature, you cannot use any like type of tap abilities on a creature. Planeswalkers, you can use their abilities the turn they come out. So my turn 4 Jace, starting loyalty of 3, I can look at your top card of your library and put that on the bottom if I choose, and then I get him up to 5 the same turn he's out.
That's a very good. The +2 is a very good ability if person just tutored for something.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of screw up their whole game plan sometimes.
We covered priority in a previous podcast. So the planeswalker, when you put it down, you still have priority. You get to do one of those abilities before somebody else can cast a lightning bolt. So that is food for thought. You can do an ability, and then their card can go off if they do an instant, you know. So you still have priority when they do a planeswalker. When you attack a person, you can redirect where the damage is going. So I want half of this going to the planeswalker and half of this going to the player. You can do it all to the player and not the planeswalker. You can do it all to the planeswalker and not the player. So mm-hmm. you, as an attacker, get to choose where those creatures are going.
And, yeah, I was going to say all during your attack step. So he's like, okay, yeah. I'm going to have these two creatures attack you personally, and this one creature is going to attack Jace.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well.
There are some planeswalkers. I think this did start with War of the Spark, but correct me if I'm wrong, that have static abilities. So the one that I've got pulled up right now is Nicol Bolas, Dragon God. And he's got his three abilities, plus one, which is you draw a card, each opponent exiles a card from their hand or permanent they control. His minus three is destroy target creature, planeswalker. And his ultimate is each opponent who doesn't control a legendary creature, planeswalker loses the game. But he's also got, at the top of the text box, Nicol Bolas, Dragon God, has all loyalty abilities of all other planeswalkers on the battlefield. So that's not something that you need to activate. That's something that's always happening. So yeah. if you had Nicol Bolas and Peddler had a Jace the Mind Sculptor, you could activate Jace's ability with Nicol Bolas to look at the top card of Peddler's library.
Right.
Correct.
I want to say, too, that the more of the Spark Planeswalkers, I think, is when they came out with the static abilities.
Yeah.
Sahil Rai, maybe I'm saying the wrong name. I'm thinking Mortal Kombat. Sahili combo with Felidar Guardian. So did she have a static ability or no? No? I don't think so.
Don't so think
maybe,
so.
Maybe it was War of the Sparks when they came out with the static ability.
I believe that's true.
I've just got a bit of a trivia that I just found. I just found the highest number of individual Planeswalker cards per character. And do you guys have any idea what it might or who it might be?
Jace at 9?
Nope.
Ooh, I don't even have a guess. Chandra. Liliana.
It is. You were right the first time. It is Chandra with 16.
Wow.
Jace has 12. So does Liliana and Ajani. Nissa has 10.
Okay.
Garuk has 9. And yeah, it just goes down from there.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Keep in mind, you can find us over on Facebook. Magic the Gathering Players Group. Check out our sponsor, NorthValleyGames.com. Use the code TC2021. Save 10%. And we partnered with Unstable Realms Gaming over on YouTube. Until next time, keep spell slinging.